Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. I'm the host of the show, or in this case, your tour guide, because I want to whisk you off to sunnier climes, to exotic Brazil. We hear so much about Brazil with the World Cup and the Olympics. I thought you might like to hear a Saltcoats roving reporter's impressions of it. So to get us in the mood, here is a flavour of Brazil. To go travelling abroad to all sorts of places. It's quite an adventure. For me, going abroad on holiday isn't about lying in a deck chair on the beach. It's about meeting real people in real situations. And I call these adventures God-guided tours because I really feel close to God as I set off into the unknown. And my trip to Brazil is a classic of that type. I'd never been in the Southern Hemisphere before. Well, I'd once been in Kenya, I should say, right on the equator. But this was me crossing the equator and going way, way south, further than I'd ever been before, into a whole other continent. And when you've left all your props behind and you're flying by the seat of your pants, I call it a God-guided tour, because if God doesn't do a miracle, I'm in trouble. Another word for it would be a psychological tourism, where you're stretching yourself, not just physically moving, but your whole being is risking. In the Bible, there's a story of Abraham, or Abram, who was a wandering Aramean in Mesopotamia, modern Baghdad, say, in Ur. And God calls this man and says, I want you to set out and follow me, and I will lead you to new adventures and new places. I'm not telling you where I'm taking you, but just trust me, go with it. And Abraham set off, and he's the father of three different religions because of the step of faith in that. Or you remember, I don't know how old you are, but I can remember when I was little watching on the television Mr. Ben. It was cartoons for children, and this man would go into the wardrobe and come out the other side into a whole other world. It's the same effect with C.S. Lewis's Tales of Narnia. When you go to the travel agent, you end up going into a whole other world. And it's amazing if you say yes in life, just how far you can go, and you can surprise yourself. And it is really a spiritual experience. This walking on water, like Peter in the Bible, it becomes quite addictive. So I went to several countries in quick succession, but one of my favourites is Brazil, and that's what I want to share with you. But first, here is James Taylor expressing his feelings about the spiritual experience of visiting Brazil.
More than a distant land, or a shining sea, more than the steaming breeze, more than the shining of a tropic fruit, romantic language of the Portuguese, melody on a wooden flute, samba floating in the sun. Alright, you can stay asleep, you can close your eyes, you can trust the people of paradise to call your keeper and tender your goodbyes. Oh, what a night, wonderful one in a million a night. Frozen fire, Brazilian stars. Later on, rays of the rising sun, on the run from the soldier's gun, shouting out loud from the angry crowd, the mild, the wild, and the hungry child. I tell you, there's more than a dream in Rio. I was there on the very day, and my heart came back alive. There was more than the singing voices, more than the upturned faces, and more than the shining eyes. But it's more than the shining eyes, more than the steaming breeze.
My God-guided tour of Brazil took the form of a five-week preaching tour, changing towns every 5 days, preaching for my supper, preaching to packed churches night after night. I got to stay with real people in their real circumstances. This was not holiday tourism. They welcomed me into their homes and into their hearts. They showed me their lives. I got personal guided tours of their factories. There was a roof tile factory, a textile factory, a pottery factory. They showed me a school, a college, a farm, a care home, a hospital, a boys' home, their churches, a country club, and the favela, the slums. What an eye-opener it was. What a privilege it was. This is what I want to share with you in these two Holy Half-Hour programmes. It was a very full, action-packed adventure, but I did also have time to go to the beach. Here are two famous songs about Brazilian beaches, both in Rio as it happens, Ipanema Beach and Copacabana Beach.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem que passa, doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
And thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes
from 8 to His name was Rico. He wore a diamond. He was escorted to his chair. He saw Lola dancing there, and when she finished, he called her over. But Rico went a bit too far. Tony sailed across the bar, and then the punches flew, and chairs were smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot, but just who shot who?
At the Copacabana beach in Rio de Janeiro, I got the chance to fulfill a dream. I got to play football on the beach with Brazilian lads. And this is where Pelé started his career. I also had the privilege of seeing inside the Maracanã National Football Stadium. I love visiting famous football stadia, and there's no more iconic football home than Brazil's Maracanã. Even more of a God-guided tour moment came for me when I finally got the chance to play a proper football match in Brazil. Everywhere I looked, there was a burst football or was something, but on one occasion I got one chance at playing a proper match with proper nets in the goals and everything. What a dream come true for a football laddie like me from Scotland. Only problem was, it was 90 degrees heat. I had no water. The only water was from a dodgy tap in the playing field. I feared infection, but I couldn't miss the opportunity. I got so tired during the game with all the heat, all I could do was poach up front and hope that the ball would reach me. Sure enough, the cross came over. All I could do was muster one last mighty effort and swing my tired legs at the ball, and I hit the sweet spot and saw the ball fly up into the corner of the goal. I had scored the winning goal to win 3-2 with the very last kick of the game. You could not have written the script any better. That's what I call a God-guided tour moment. God gave me a big treat there. I believe that the whole of life is a God-guided tour, full of special, blessed moments and treats from God. I wanted to be a football player, but God wanted me to be a minister, and God won. But I've won too, because he has really blessed me as a minister. I'm quite happy in the job. And he has really blessed me as a sportsman on odd occasions. I'm not going to be a world beater, but I've had my moments. Like, he gave me a hole-in-one at golf when I was showing American relatives a Scottish Lynx course. "That's how we do it over here," I calmly said to them, smiling smugly. And I narrowly beat a Chinese man at table tennis in China. And I won over a crowd of black teenagers in an American jail by my trick shot at basketball. And there are lots of moments like these. I'm not saying that I'm good at all these sports. I'm saying I overachieved at just the moment I needed to. That's why I call it a God-guided moment. God-guided moments also come in the form of being in the presence of someone who's doing something really amazing and you're just lucky to be there. Like Ricardo here. Ricardo is a Brazilian minister I was chatting to. Suddenly he saw a guitar in the corner of the room, and at my request, when I discovered he could play, he picked it up and he started to strum it. Wow, just listen for yourself.
E mudou meu se mudando. Até parece que as pessoas estão morando no sertão. É faca com bala, é faca com faca, metralhadoras e canhões. Até parece que as universidades estão formando lampiões. E lampião e lamparina, vela acesa e candeeiro. Filosofia deste mundo tá pra só gastar dinheiro. E o dinheiro anda mais curto do que perna de cobra. Filosofia de malandro só gasta e nunca sobra. Que tá faltando de amor, tá sobrando iniquidade. Todo mundo só adiando pelas ruas da cidade. Se essas ruas fossem minhas, eu pregava cartaz, eu comprava um spray, escrevia nelas todas dizas, is on your way. Jesus é o único caminho pra quem quer morar no céu. Quem quiser ataiar vai pro Beleléu. Jesus é o único caminho pra quem quer morar no céu. Quem quiser ataiar vai pro Beleléu. Jesus é o único caminho pra quem quer morar no céu. Quem quiser ataiar vai pro Beleléu.
That's an amazing performance by Ricardo. This man is not a musician professionally, he's just a minister in a poor church in Brazil. He didn't rehearse that, he just saw someone else's guitar, picked it up and spontaneously came out with all that. I found in Brazil, everywhere I turned, folk were very musical and they would have jam sessions at the drop of a hat. Anyway, I just want to share with you one or two of my God-guided moments. It was so often I had these special moments that I just sat back and waited to see what was going to happen next. So I was in the car, I said, where are we going now? And someone said, we're going to see the Roman Catholic bishop who deals with the social work of the Catholic Church in South America. And when I thought about it, you know, that's the guy in the whole of South America I would have wanted to meet. The Roman Catholic Church is the biggest denomination in South America. And I wanted to know what they did for all the social poverty that is out there. So I got to meet at the minister's conference, the perfect person for me to meet in the whole of Brazil. And then I was taken to see the world's best bull, in the sense of his cows produce the largest quantities of milk in the world. I was taken to the world's largest sugar cane plantation and mill. And I went to João College. In Brazil, most people don't get enough education. They get 4.5 hours a day, and that's not enough, really. So when they leave school, they all go back to evening classes. And I mean, just about everybody went to evening classes. And they went 5 nights a week, 7 till 11. So they'd work all day, get their tea, and then go to night school every night. There was a tremendous thirst for knowledge. So I went with some students to see their night school, and they said, tell you what, you could be the speaker at it. I says, no, you've got your classes and things. No, we don't get a Scottish minister every day, so you could speak at it. I said, well, what's the subject? What's your class doing? Oh, we're studying the Reformation. And I thought, well, I'm not the world expert on the subject, and this is South America. It's not the Reformation in Europe. What do I know? But they insisted that I speak. And they gave me one of the pupils who could speak a little English as my interpreter. And I spoke for an hour based on a dishcloth I was carrying at the time, just in case. And I spoke about the Reformation as it affected South America, which I wasn't really an expert on, through the interpreter. And when they finished after an hour, they held me for a further hour asking all kinds of questions about Scotland. There was always a thirst for knowledge. And then I had a God-guided tour moment when I was on the aeroplane from Curitiba to Rio, and the stranger sitting next to me, it turned out he used to live in Rio but found it was too violent and he'd emigrated to Curitiba and now commuted to work. And he gave me a lot of helpful hints and tips, like when you're walking the streets in Copacabana, don't walk near the shop window, walk in the middle of the dual carriageway, so if a gang chases you, you've got a head start. And all sorts of stories, which actually helped me. But he put the fear of death into me when I got there. I found myself in a hotel in Rio, knowing I had a weekend to myself, no tour guides at this point. And I thought, if I go out the door, I'll get mugged. There's hundreds of thousands of people, no other income but mugging a tourist. But I thought, I can't sit in the hotel all weekend, so I'd better do something. So there was actually a guy in the hotel who had been on the aeroplane the same time as myself, and we recognised each other, and he was sitting with the same fear. So I got chatted with Luis, and we decided the best way to protect each other would be if we went together out into the streets. So off we went, and then he had a brainwave. He says, I'm actually a consultant in a hospital, and recently I was in Rio for a consultant summit, and I met a local Brazilian surgeon, and he said, any time you're in Rio, give me a phone. So here I am, I think I'll give him a phone. So he got Ronaldo to come along with his car. And so instead of just being on my own in a dangerous city, I had two consultants and a car. We drove up and down Copacabana Beach. He decided to take us to his country club. His country club wasn't in the country, it was just at the end of Copacabana Beach, right underneath the Sugarloaf Mountain. So we sat out there on the veranda with two consultants in the sun under the Sugarloaf Mountain watching the cable car. A submarine popped up, a battleship sailed by, and wasn't life wonderful? So instead of being a little tourist on my own stuck in the hotel room, I was enjoying all these moments. You couldn't organise it. A tour guide couldn't organise it. That's why I call it a God-guided tour. Well, sadly, my time's run out. I could give you all kinds of stories for a long time to come. But I have to leave you now, and I'll leave you with this sound of Brazil.